Thank you, Eric. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. Welcome to another week.
Well, hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
You said it.
You're going to fault me for being friendly?
Hi, everybody.
I want everybody to feel welcome.
Well, you did a good job.
Call us, text us, stop by. We're 312-981-7200. I've noticed, now you've said this before, that in your family you have this policy where you're nicer to strangers than you are to each other.
Strangers always right.
I noticed that usually Steve Bertrand does our news, and you wouldn't have a kind word for Steve, but today with him out of the country, you said some very nice things about him.
I hope it doesn't get back to him, okay? Because I didn't really, I guess I didn't say not for air when I told you this.
You did not say not for air.
Steve Bertrand is in the Mexico area. I'm not sure what part of Mexico, but he is there with his wife and an eye doctor who does some pretty amazing things where they are giving eye tests to villagers that can't afford eyeglasses or eye tests.
Right.
And Bertrand was telling us before he left that it's pretty cool and pretty rewarding because this huge line of people is waiting to come up and get tested. And
people who I guess couldn't normally afford
right.
this. They've made
no,
it.
No insurance.
Right, right, right. Very nice thing you saw.
It really is. And there's a picture of him on his Facebook page where he's holding a little kid. And I said, boy, you're a sweet man and kind of adorable. Again, I say these things when we're not in the same room.
When he's far away.
Yeah.
Right. Not with him close by.
But I got to tell you, he looks just really sweet and comforting. And then there's a picture of him with this little girl who actually has glasses on, so he fitted her for glasses. He doesn't, I know he's a dad and he has two beautiful children,
yep.
but he doesn't seem like a guy who would like a little toddler on his lap.
Can I share something with you that you may not be aware of?
Yes.
We have here in our radio studio, we have a television monitor that shows various parts of WGN. You look up at the monitor and you can see the newsroom, you can see traffic, you can see sports, and then there's an outside camera. And it's cut at about neck level. More days than not, Steve is cradling an infant while he's doing the news. It's always a different infant. There's a raffle somewhere and the winning child gets to come in and Steve just holds them gently during the news. He's been doing it for years.
He's kind of a cranky get off my lawn type of guy. And do you remember when those kids were up in the newsroom?
Yes.
And he was A, nice to them as they were there. And two, when he was just talking to us, he said, there's nothing that makes me happier than a bunch of little kids
yeah.
around. And I was shocked.
Yeah. He has that curmudgeon-y shell on the
big
outside,
time.
But inside, chewy nougat.
Steve's like a professor type or a doctor.
He
isn't
is.
He, kind
that's
of?
Good. Yes, that's a perfect
yeah,
way to describe him.
Yeah, but he was so happy when those kids were in there because I went
it.
In there and he was just, you know, here you do the out cue and you do the traffic. You
yeah,
know, and it was
he
so
lives
cute.
For those moments.
Yeah,
and he always has a coloring book nearby. He's not always coloring, but he has one nearby.
But professor and or doctor, I'm thinking of a curmudgeon-y professor and doctor.
Right.
So those people don't usually like to cradle kids.
I think my theory. It's the cardigans. I think there's something about the material in the cardigan.
It's Mr. Rogers-y.
And the vests.
Yes.
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 It makes the Mr. Rogers in him come out.
Yeah, it does. Yes, it does.
You've solved the problem.
You take the cardigan away, he's got a different Steve Bertrand, but with the cardigan, that's what you're going to get.
Who needs Tom Hanks? Steve should portray him.
He should play Mr. Rogers in a movie.
He would be good.
Now, he's in Mexico until tomorrow or Wednesday, I think, right?
I think all week.
Is it a whole week?
I think
I thought
so.
He said a 4-day trip.
Mary Sandberg's there too.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I know. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was unaware of it because I said, are you going with Sandberg and Pat Boyle?
Yeah.
And he goes, what?
Could you imagine Sandberg?
No.
If she heard that. What? It's going to be another WGN person there?
Country's not big enough.
She probably changed islands or areas
she's
anyway.
Gone.
Did you see that the president of Mexico, President Nieto, was scheduled to come here to the United States, but then had a conversation with our president and decided maybe not. Decided he's going to stay in Mexico.
I don't blame him.
Wow. Because he said, now there's two things. His words were, he knew there'd be some strife between he and President Trump because Mr. Trump insists that Mexico pay for the wall and he has no intention of it. But I read two different articles where they said that he's nervous because Donald Trump is a very large, overbearing human being
with tiny hands
with small hands, and he, President Nieto, is kind of a slight gentleman, and he thought that the two of them together, that maybe that wouldn't look good, like he was being bullied. Do you buy that? I don't think I buy
no.
that.
What you mean, like photo ops, he would
yeah.
feel inferior?
Yeah, I don't think I buy that. Yeah, that doesn't sound right to me.
No, why don't the you first just say one, the truth?
Yeah, the first one seems to be true, right? That they would argue over the wall, over who's going to pay for the wall. I just hope that there's no problems with Steve getting back into the United States.
I hope not either, and I wonder if Pink Floyd's The Wall, if sales are way up way down.
Way up. Way up. Although Steve could carry a child and convince them at the border that he's a ventriloquist and he's lost his way. He just wants to come back to the United States.
Are you,
and then he'll press the neck on the child and the child will say something.
Are you a kid guy? Like I asked this. I know Mary is and she's a grandmother now. I have my great nephew, Micah, who was christened last Sunday.
Yeah.
And his sister, Addie, who's 2.5, and she's a lot of fun. He is 3 months old and doesn't do much. And everyone's like, here, do you want to hold him? I'm like, no, I'm good.
Oh, that's warm.
I'm not a baby girl. I liked my babies. And then babies don't do much.
If a baby is handed to me, I will hold the baby, but I don't.
I held him on Christmas.
Oh, you're good for 3 years. Fine.
And I felt bad, but it's like I'm scared of babies.
Well, you know.
I'm out of practice.
You have to be very careful.
I know. He still has
they're slippery.
The neck thing.
Yeah,
they're not slippery.
They're slippery.
I didn't hold the baby when delivered.
I'm always happy to hold one, but I don't go out of my way. But then once they can talk and sing and dance
they're way
and stuff,
more fun.
I love them.
Although now with two teenagers, I kind of wish they'd go back to being a baby.
Yeah.
They were much easier.
Right.
And then I'd hold them.
Yeah. Then everybody wins. All right. We'll take a quick break, and then there's more show if you want to jump in. You know how to reach us, 312-981-7200. Bill and Wendy with you on WGN.
All right. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. Steve Bertrand is doing a good deed in Mexico. Judy Pilak does our news on the stream at 12:30.
Yeah.
And she is going to come out with us to the Museum of Broadcast Communications on Wednesday
at
noon.
Oh, that's confirmed? That's great.
Yes.
Good.
We have to give away some tickets to see us. We're going to broadcast live from the Saturday Night Live, the Experience exhibit at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. It's happening Wednesday, State Street, 10 a.m. to noon. And then at noon, Judy Pilak will arrive and there'll be
red carpet probably.
Oh, my God.
Don't
tell
imagine?
Her that because she's going to
be
want
red carpet.
It. We're going to have pie and coffee from Bang Bang Pie and Biscuits. You can look at the exhibit, which I can't wait to see. The Museum of Broadcast Communications located at 360 North State Street. Can we give away a pair now?
Right now.
All right. 312-981-7200. What number, caller?
Caller 6. Be caller number 6, 312-981-7200, and you will win the tickets.
All right. Speaking of Judy Pilak, when I got my knee replaced, she put together this beautiful little get-well basket, a healing
basket.
Very
nice of her.
Because she's a healing person.
Yeah.
And in that basket was a book called Geek Love, which she told me I had to give back to her. But everything else I could keep. There was a video of Melissa McCarthy cop movie. What was that?
Oh, I don't remember the title, but I know the movie.
Oh, Identity Theft or Identity Thief?
Something like that.
One?
I think.
I don't know. Maybe. The one with Sandra Bullock, probably.
Yes, I don't remember
the name of it.
Name of it
too.
But Jim from Bensonville will be joining us to see Judy Pilak.
Oh.
In the Saturday Night Live exhibit.
In that order.
Yes, on Wednesday.
Congratulations.
So anyway, Judy gave me this. More tickets coming your way later. So you can hang up now and call later when we tell you. Catherine Dunn did this book, Geek Love.
Yeah, I read it.
I know,
right
but
after.
Judy gave it to me and said, you know, I'm going to need it back. So the pressure was on. I didn't want to read in the hospital because I was on a lot of pain meds.
Yeah.
And I just like to enjoy the ride.
This was in December, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So I gave it back to her when I came back to work in January because I didn't want the pressure of I don't like having somebody else's book. You still have a Norm Macdonald book that you said you were going to read and give back to me.
Oh, all right. I'll give you that back.
All right. Jasmine, just say it yourself because listeners, why do you call if you can't go to something? It's this Wednesday. Jim from Bensonville couldn't go, Bill.
Oh, so we need a substitute winner.
We have one. All Who right. is it?
Roberta from Chicago.
All right.
Why is nothing easy with us?
I already made out a name tag for Jim.
I know, Jim, you're lost. You even put Bensonville on it.
Yeah, I put from Bensonville on a smiley face.
So yeah, this was back in December. Judy gave me the book. It was hanging over my head. I got to page like 18, and I felt bad, so I gave it back to her. I don't like having a time limit.
Let's say Judy gave you the book, Geek Love, and said, limitless. You can take as much time as you want. What page would you be on now?
Well, it's funny you say that, Bill, because you read it then.
Yeah.
And because you were going on vacation and had some reading time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was at Half Price Books over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The kids wanted to look for stuff. Michael always goes to look for albums. Dylan, I don't know what he was looking at. And I thought, you know what? I'm here. I'm going to see if they have Geek Love.
At half the price.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's been out for years.
It's been out for, yeah.
So I thought, yeah, I'll just ask, you know. So I said, do you have Geek Love? It's a book by Catherine Dunn. And she said, oh, it would be one of two places. And I looked at the two places and that wasn't there.
Oh.
I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm just checking. No big deal. And so the next thing I know, they found a copy for $7.49.
A bargain.
And I'm on page 62.
Oh, look at you. You're speeding through it. Let me see your
really
fingertips.
Good.
You have paper cuts all over your fingers.
No, that's from putting the Jewel Monopoly playboard together.
Oh.
I'm going to win the million.
It's
I'm
a great
you
book if you love, and I know you do, if you love your circus sideshow freaks. This
Freakazoids.
Is, yeah. Every freak in the book, freakier than the last.
It is freaking fantastic.
Yeah, well, put that on the title. Put it right on the cover there.
But so somebody else, you know, asked on our Facebook page, what's that book Judy recommended that Bill read that you are only on page 18?
Yeah.
So that hurt me.
Oh.
So I got the book and I am now on page 62, I think.
Well, you're a more leisurely reader, though. You take your time. You read a page.
No, I couldn't put it down.
Yeah?
I, you know, did some grocery shopping and some other things, and I had a big, long reading period. And
yeah.
I, honestly, this is lame. I can't wait to get home to finish reading
it. Oh, that's not lame. That's great. It's surprising that this book has never become a movie, because everything about it says movie. I don't get it. Although American Horror Story did kind of a tribute to it a little bit a couple of years ago when they did their circus year.
Wasn't that more a tribute to that Freaks movie,
to the movie
though?
Freaks. Yeah, elements of both.
But this is like, this is freaky and more sinister.
Yeah, it's very dark.
In the way in which Freaks are made.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So this would be a better and different movie.
It's about a family who wants to keep the circus going, so they find a way to create their own freaks. It's really interesting. I highly recommend it. The author just died about a year ago, very sad. And apparently, this is from what I read on the internet, so I'm sure it's true, she has a sequel to it that she wrote but never had published. I don't know why.
Really?
Because I would love, yeah, it's the Minuski family, right? Is that their name? The people who run the circus. I would love to read more about them.
Banuski.
Yeah, Banuski.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I said.
Sorry.
I would love to read more about them.
I don't know. I might have had my fill. I'm not really sure. But it's weird because Kurt Cobain and Courtney Love were fans of this book. Terry Gilliam, former Monty Python person.
I swear, I didn't know that. But when I was thinking who should direct it, his name came immediately to mind. And Tim Burton's as well.
Yes.
But
somebody,
not Shonda Rhimes. I don't think Shonda Rhimes would do a good job with this.
Well, listen to this, Bill.
Yes.
Kurt Cobain and Courtney Love were fans. Terry Gilliam and the director of Time Bandit, blah, 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 calls it the most romantic novel about love and family I have read.
I disagree with him, but please continue.
It made me ashamed to be so utterly normal. And he's not, really. So that's funny.
That's an interesting take on the book. I would not call it the most romantic book I ever read.
This next sentence is going to make you go, what?
Yeah?
In the 90s, Harry Anderson, the magician and actor from Night Court, optioned the film rights and wrote a movie script himself.
Oh.
Flea, the Red Hot Chili Peppers bassist, adores it. But no movie was ever made. It's Catherine Dunn's Geek Love. A dazzling oddball masterpiece published many years ago.
Like, somebody made a fake trailer for the movie that I got suckered into for a minute. I went to YouTube to see if anybody did like a low budget version of this. And there's a trailer for this movie, but the movie doesn't exist. Somebody just made a fake preview.
I can't believe this book has been out so long. Do you know Jim Rose from the Circus Sideshow that we've had on the air years ago? This Geek Love inspired him. The novel inspired him to launch his own sideshow in the U.S., the Jim Rose Circus Sideshow.
I didn't know that.
Which started its tour with Lollapalooza. This book has been out that long?
Yeah, a long time.
Wow.
Yep.
All right, well, let's make a movie.
Good.
I'd like to star in it.
You've been listening to Oprah's Book Corner.
You know, you make fun of me because I don't read, and then when I read and I'm excited about it, you make fun of me.
I think that's great that you're reading. I like that you're reading, and it's good that there's no pop-up pictures coming out, but I think this is a step in the right direction. We'll take a break. We've got news and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
I want to thank you, Eric Rung. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it. Noted pet expert. I'm sorry, I got my inner Elvis going.
It happens. You can't help that. Don't fight it. Just live with it.
Noted pet expert, who we've known for a really long time.
Yeah, since he was a little boy.
No. I love it. We loved you. We still do.
Steve Dale.
Enjoy Steve. Well, he's back. Steve.
Yes.
A quick spoiler alert to those This Is Us fans, but I need your expert opinion. Quick spoiler alert.
Yeah.
If you're not caught up on This Is Us, just turn your radio down for just a moment or two.
Okay.
Should Jack Pearson have gone back in?
It really depends on what his dog had to say about it.
Really?
Yes. I'm sorry. A pet is part of your family. And
cost him his life.
Well, listen, I'm not asking you. Anyone else who's listening, if your house is burning and you know your pet is in there, you have to make some kind of an effort. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But it works both ways, you know? So I just did, it's funny you say this, because I just wrote a piece about, and it's a question I get asked a lot.
Should Jack Pearson have gone back in?
That's not the question. The question is, do our pets really love us?
It's a good question. What is your answer?
I mean, love
right.
us. What do you think?
I think yes. Bill tends to think your dog's just happy to see you because they go, oh, there's the guy who feeds us. Tiki is not food motivated at all.
No.
He really...
But there's also just a recognition that I don't know is love so much as just recognition.
Well...
Right.
I see you every day, and I'm like, oh, I know that guy.
But the licking of my face is what, I think that's where it becomes an issue. Don't you, Steve? Be honest.
Well, all right, Bill, let me ask you this, then.
Yes.
So one of the definitions of love, and
yes.
I did look this stuff up, is the willingness to self-sacrifice, to, in other words, potentially give up your life for someone else's.
Yes.
A dog would do that.
Dogs do this all the time.
I mean, if
and
you're walking
too.
A dog, cats, if they feel like it.
Well, they do. There are instances of cats waking up someone at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
They've got a door. They can escape that fire. But instead, they go to the other room toward the fire to wake that person up. I don't think they're cognitively thinking, well, but if they die of smoke inhalation, I don't get fed tomorrow. I don't think that's it.
And you're walking a dog, and all of a sudden a coyote comes up. Tiki, like, turns into this...
Like a protector.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah. You know, so... I'm not sure what the definition... also, if you look it up, it's... I forget the exact wording, but it's something to the effect of being overjoyed to see you. Well, go on YouTube, watch those videos, and I'm sure you have, of the soldiers that come back after being away, and the dogs greet them. It's not like they just went to the grocery store. These dogs... And the greeting... We don't even have a word in the English language, I don't think, to describe the pure joy that these dogs are expressing. Clearly, you don't have to know dog language at all. Mm. That's what these dogs are saying. So, yeah, I'm not sure about goldfish or pet snakes.
What about your bunny?
Yeah, we have a rabbit, Steve.
So there's a difference, I think, between bonding, perhaps.
Yeah.
The other thing is that dogs are hardwired to do this. They are hardwired to understand us. In fact, I think that dogs understand us better than we understand them.
Okay. If the Pearsons had a cat, should Jack have gone back in?
Mm-mm.
Nope.
What?
He says no.
But you said the cat will get out.
Well,
the cat
not necessarily.
Has a better chance.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, if there's no window open, how's the cat getting out?
Yeah. Yes, of course.
Well, you don't want to risk your life, and I mean this sincerely. I mean, it would be difficult if the house is completely engulfed in flames. No, I'm sorry. You wouldn't go back in.
Well, you can't physically do it at times, but if you have the opportunity to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm going back in for my dogs.
All right.
But I think they would do the same for me.
Yep. All right.
Fair. I mean, they don't
on
have
a good
thumbs.
Day.
They know me, so maybe not.
What brings you in today, Steve? What did you want to discuss?
Oh, there are so many things to talk about. So one thing that's been in the news, actually, on TV and in the newspapers, is the Animal Welfare League of Chicago and Chicago Ridge. it means a lot. I mean, this facility is what they call an open intake facility. Thankfully, mm-hmm. they take anyone. So a dog or a cat, doesn't matter what the story is, they accept any animal anytime. Most facilities do not. There are only a handful in Chicago that do. So without them, we'd be in big trouble as a community. Chicago Animal Care and Control, the municipal facility, already, incidentally, as I speak, this is important to mention. I've not talked about this yet. They are right now overfilled with dogs. If you're thinking about getting a dog, or you know someone who is, because at some, I mean, the rescues are great. They come in and they do what they do. They take these animals out. But they're overfilled, and I don't know why. And, you know, people then say, well, those people at the Animal Care and Control, they're bad people, because then they don't want these dogs coming in either. And by law, they take them, and I'm glad they do. Mm-hmm. They've got, you know, but the problem is on the other end, people are giving up these animals. And I can't explain why the numbers are so high right now. They are, and they need help. So Animal Welfare League, the problem is that the work they do is important, it's necessary, but they need to do it right. And several volunteers that once were volunteers, ex-volunteers and ex-employees got together and said, you know what, this is the situation there. And when they first said it, I didn't want to believe it myself. Mm-hmm. But then they showed me documentation, and I began to get phone calls from veterinarians that once worked there, from other directors of other animal shelters. And it's, when you read the black and white, or you see pictures, and I guess photos could be doctored, but you're getting them from all these different sources. Some are exceedingly credible sources, and that they're people you know that just want things to be better. And that's the thing. All of us just want things to be better at Animal Welfare League. So I believe, I hope they've begun to listen and pay attention.
I'm on their website right now, and it just breaks my heart. Why is every dog in the database pretty much a pit bull? Or pit bull mix.
I know. And same for Animal Care and Control. And travel anywhere in the country. So right now, according to the American Kennel Club, the most popular dog in America is the Labrador Retriever. When it comes to pedigree dogs, that's true. But in America, the all-American dog right now is the pit bull. Or a dog you look at and you say, that's a pit bull. But really, they're mixed breed dogs. Why is that? I don't know.
Is it because people, you know, get a pit bull as a status symbol and then realize they don't want the pit bull anymore? Listen, there are mean pit bulls and there are mean Rottweilers and there are mean German Shepherds. It's not all about the breed.
Not at all about the breed. In fact, as I said, they're not pit bulls. They're mixed breed dogs that have a certain look about them. But they are I talked about that years ago, but I couldn't prove it. Well, now the scientists are proving it because they do the genetic testing.
And Brian Bickle has his little, you know, dog calendar and trying to help get dogs.
Brian, Amanda Bickle do a great job. And there are lots of others like them that have these pit bull rescues out there. We need them because there are just so many, and only a certain percent of people want, and people have a right to have whatever dog they want, but not everyone wants a dog that looks like a pit bull for a variety of different reasons.
We adopted the Singer pit bull for a while. We had him at the house.
I had Florida for a while.
Oh yeah, she's fun.
He's fun. God, we have to take a break.
We're at 312-981-7200. Give us a call. There's already people lined up to ask you questions, Steve. Noted pet expert Steve Dale is our guest. 312-981-7200. Back after this, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Noted pet expert Steve Dale is here. You can find him at stevedalepetworld.com. I hear you every weekend on this very radio station.
Thank you.
I'm up very early. When are you on?
Sunday mornings at 6:30. Cat Stevens sang a song called I Love My Dog. It's one of my favorites.
I do like that song. Mm. Cat Stevens, you keep pushing me on trying to get a cat. Let's take a quick question,
sure,
and then we can talk cats. This is Bernie?
Yes.
Hi, Bernie.
How are you?
Good. Did you have a question for Steve Dale?
Well, first I want to start saying that I had a pit bull for 12, 13 years. He was the warmest, most human animal we've ever had.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he just loved. But don't touch me.
Really?
Very protective.
Yeah.
Very protective, yes. And unfortunately, We had to put him to sleep about a month ago.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Sorry. I hate that. All right. Sorry for your poor puppy. But, Bernie, we don't have a lot of time here, so get to your question for Steve.
Question is, we have a new dog, Beagle, about a year and a half old, has separation anxiety. Oh. Any good tip?
And if I may say, beagles are very loud, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This one howls.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you know the dog has separation anxiety? What do you think?
When my wife left, we had somebody here watching the dog just the other day. When she left the house, she just went all over, jumping. It took about an hour for her to calm down.
Okay. Well, if you have a dog that has a sugar level that isn't normal, the veterinarian will look at the blood work and say, this is diabetes. You need a veterinarian to diagnose that. Actually, separation anxiety is similar. And what you just told me isn't enough for me on the radio to say your dog certainly has separation anxiety. So sometimes dogs have just never been, particularly newly adopted dogs, they're uncomfortable, yeah. They don't know their new surroundings, or... a dog was never trained to be home alone. It doesn't mean the dog is in distress. The dog just doesn't know what to do home alone. If the dog is having accidents, maybe the dog isn't completely house trained. So you need to diagnose to ensure that it's separation anxiety, first of all. If it is separation anxiety, depending on how severe it is, there are all sorts of products that are available. And when it's very severe, anti-anxiety medication is the right thing to do. But you really need an absolute diagnosis. And in radio time, you and I can have a conversation. It would just take too long.
And you should visit your vet because they'd be able to help you a little better.
Yeah.
We just adopted her about 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
And yeah.
It's too fresh.
Yeah. Sometimes you're right, Wendy. Sometimes it takes dogs a while to settle in.
And she's starting to ask to go out. And it's good. And she's coming over to us now. So listen, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate your
What's her name?
Missy.
Good luck with Missy, Bernie. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
All right, honey.
All right, guys.
Honey. He called you honey. Oh. Steve, I just realized separation anxiety is what Wendy gets whenever you leave our show. She runs around the studio panting. And
I can't tell you how much I love dogs.
I know you do.
I love all animals, but those dogs, those little faces.
I think it's in your genes. Your sister, too.
Yeah. She's a dog level. My mom, we all worked at Brookfield Zoo.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
My mom and sister docented. They didn't even get paid for it. Mm-hmm. I needed the money.
Mm-hmm.
I took money. All right, real quickly, cats. What are we talking about?
Well, this
about
is
cats?
The most exciting time. It is, and I gave you a booklet that's available free for people to download a PDF version. It is, are you ready? The 50th anniversary of the Wynn Feline Foundation. They do more. Woo! Yes.
I'm sorry.
Will is overjoyed.
I've never wished I had a trumpet more than just that moment. Yep.
Because this organization
50 years, Steve. Where does the time go?
I've been on their board for 13 years, actually. And
that's roughly 26% of it.
God. Yeah, I guess.
Thanks, but Rain Man.
You're welcome.
Everything
Qantas never crashes.
Everything we know about cat health was once funded by the Wynn Feline Foundation. Everything from what cats eat to the vaccines they get to treatment for most things that cats unfortunately can have happen to them to the welfare of shelter cats to the welfare of cats that are outdoor cats, feral cats. All of this has been funded by the Wynn, W-I-N-N, Feline Foundation. It is an amazing organization. I'm so proud to be on their board, but I want people to know more about this organization. And if you're a cat lover, you do need to learn more about it, because I'll tell you, your cat has been touched every day in every way by the Wynn Feline Foundation.
Wendy found a picture that's upsetting.
No, it isn't. It's just a very young Steve Dale with the Sphinx cat on your...
A Devon Rex. Yeah,
which looks like a Sphinx.
Climbing sort of. On your shoulder.
Yeah.
Planning to kill you.
This is Ricky?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Piano playing cat.
Oh, that's right. This is a pretty amazing story.
Yeah. This cat once knocked WGN off the air, actually. Mm-hmm. Ricky played the piano.
Of course.
Yeah. He did. I showed you a picture.
Yeah. Most cats do.
Yeah.
And this was before YouTube. Otherwise, Ricky most certainly would have
been a millionaire today.
Oh, gosh. Yes,
he would. Yeah.
And unfortunately, Ricky died of a very common heart disease in cats. So I set up a fund called the Ricky Fund. We've raised a lot of money and have learned a lot, but we're not there yet in solving the problem, which is where I'd like to see us be. So it's W-I-N-N, felinefoundation.org. But Ricky once knocked WGN off the air. So Ricky played the piano. So for radio, that kind of works.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So Ricky was on a bunch of shows here, including Steve and Johnny.
Uh-huh.
So Steve King, we know how amazing he is, right? So they're interviewing me, and Ricky plays his little concert, you know. And they're laughing. We're all having a good time. We go to commercials, come out of commercials, and Steve says, how did you teach your cat to play the piano? And we're talking, and Ricky's a very confident cat just walking around the studio and walks across the console. And in doing so, knocks the station off the air.
No, no.
And you saw, if you watched, you'd see the look of panic on my face, on Johnny's face. Steve very calmly hit this button, hit that button, hit that button. It seemed like 20 minutes.
But more like 20 seconds.
Not even, yeah. And we were back on. But
Ricky Fund. He was very popular on Japanese TV, Bill.
Oh, yeah, I knew that. Yeah, that's where I know him.
Was.
Steve, great to see you.
Thank you.
It's Steve Dale. Listen to Steve here on Sports Central. He's the co-host of Sports Central.
Sure.
Where can people hear you?
On Sunday morning at 6:30, or go to my website. That's stevedale.tv.
Very good. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Take a quick break, give you some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Yeah. Thank you, Eric. It's Phil Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. We're at 312-981-7200. Should you want to call in or text in, we would gladly accept either of those. I have to be honest, here's a story that I keep going back and forth on. I keep vacillating on, Wendy. I think one way, and then I read more and I hear more, and then I think about it, and then I go the opposite way, and then I go back again. Here's the story. It's about a child, well, a high school child, a high school kid. Are you still a child in high school? I think you are, aren't you? You are.
Yeah.
Mac Beggs, who is the winner of the state wrestling championship. Now, the story with Mac is born a female, transitioning to a male.
And already taking testosterone.
Already taking testosterone, but wrestling and winning as a female, despite the fact that he considers himself a male. Does that make sense?
No, honestly, it doesn't to me. I'm happy that born a female, that and now a male.
Currently a male.
Okay.
But wrestling in the female division and winning the state championship.
Doesn't seem fair to me. Because and if she wants to be a he and is now a he, and that's fine, because I can't imagine being trapped inside with somebody you don't feel like you are.
Right.
That's right. Sad to me, and quite a transition. But if you are identifying with a male now, which he is,
yes,
then he should be wrestling
males. As a male.
And don't tell anybody, and then no one knows that he was a girl.
I don't know what the laws of disclosure are when it comes. I
never had to disclose anything.
But it's a very different world now than it was.
Why do you have to disclose anything?
Because then you might get other guys participating in girls' sports and winning consistently.
I really, when people say that, you know, and if guys dressed as girls go in a girls' bathroom, they're going to be, you know, looking through peepholes.
Right.
There's
no reason to believe that would happen, but you could get incidents. Remember when Peter Brady wanted to be?
Oh my God! When life comes back to a Brady Bunch episode.
Right,
no, go ahead.
No.
Peter dressed as a girl. I know.
He wanted
Bad
to
wig.
Sell cookies.
Yeah, Girl Scout.
Was it the Sunshine Girls?
Yes.
Yeah. And I would bring that up in court. If I'm asked to testify in this case, I will bring that
issue
up.
Well, so you wouldn't, if I saw a kid who obviously was a boy dressed as a girl and selling cookies, I would buy more because I'd feel sorry for him.
Oh, interesting. I didn't think about that.
Sunshine Girls.
Very good. Mac Beggs of Euless Trinity High School won his second straight Texas Girls state title on Sunday.
Why does he want to participate in that when he is a he?
I don't know if it comes down to him wanting to or them, the state of Texas, classifying him a certain way.
Because he
was born as a female.
Again,
I think it comes down to that.
So then it's the bathroom issue. Go to the bathroom you were born as, which isn't fair.
It's the same, but it's different because here you've got physical activity. You've got a sport where you have to admit more times than not, a male would have the advantage.
Did you see his arms?
Yes.
I mean, and he's taking testosterone, yes, which would give him an advantage over the girls.
That's part of the issue. Except that they're arguing that he, Mac, is taking testosterone through doctor's orders and that it's not sports related. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like for your average athlete who is doing this, if they drug test them and they find an overabundance of testosterone, self-ingested testosterone, they can fight that and
right,
go, well, you know, that's not fair. But in this particular instance, the argument is he's taking it to
doesn't
transition
matter. Still
over.
Not fair. It's
right.
Still
it's still
not
in the bloodstream,
fair.
Right?
Yep.
A transgender male wrestler won his second straight Texas Girl 6A 110-pound division title on Sunday. The 18-year-old Mac Beggs, who's a senior at Euless Trinity High School just north of Arlington, Texas, entered the state tournament last week with a perfect record. It doesn't say what the record is here, but I read it in another story. It's something like 60-0 or something, 63-0.
And he's 110?
52-0.
Oh, my God. He's 110 pounds?
In the 110 pound weight class, so I think you get some leeway.
It's not much.
It's
not much. A guy weighs more than a girl.
Right, right.
So that's another disadvantage. He's
right,
wrestling at a weight that's too low for him.
Right.
To be, this doesn't seem right.
On Sunday, Mac Beggs, beat Chelsea Sanchez, who was also in the championship last season. Fans had mixed reactions with a loud chorus of boos that could be heard when Beggs was named a state champion. Now, this is the part I'm having a hard... Well, all of it's a little hard to comprehend, but I don't want somebody booed just because they're transitioning. That's just awful.
I think they're booing because it's not fair.
It isn't
fair.
That's it, exactly.
And here's my question. What does Mac want? Would he want to wrestle in with the boys, but just is unable to because he should?
I wonder what his record would be if he wrestled in the boys' division.
Not 52-0.
It wouldn't be 52-0.
And if it was, then it was. But I mean,
right. There is more to the story. Let's take a quick break. And your thoughts? What should Mac Beggs be doing?
Thank wrestling you, Andy as a... Rooney, or who did that? And now the rest of the story.
And now the rest of the story.
Who was it?
That was right here at our station.
Paul Harvey.
Yeah. Yeah. He sold it to me.
You're doing a terrible job with it.
Page two. All right. What are your thoughts? Should Mac Beggs be wrestling as a male, as a female? And what about these kids who booed him? What do you make of that? 312-981-7200. It's Paul Harvey and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right. We're talking wrestling. I've got you in a half Nelson.
That's where Nelson comes from? I thought it was Nelson Brothers, the furniture people. All right. So here's your situation in Texas. Mac Beggs goes to Euless Trinity High School, just won his, now listen to the wording on this, it's very important, his second straight Texas Girls State Championship for wrestling. Mac was born a female and is transitioning currently to become a male, lives his life as a male, but must wrestle as a female because he was born that way and that's how the state of Texas plays by those rules.
Well, then it's not his fault that he has to do what they're telling him, but it's not fair.
Yeah, I think if I was wrestling against Mac, I might say, how exactly is this fair? I think if he is transitioning and when you see him, appears to be a guy, right?
Big guns.
Yeah.
Is this an asterisk now that they have to do?
I don't know.
It doesn't seem fair, but it's not his fault that he can't wrestle with the guys.
Right.
Again, why does anybody have to tell anybody? If he just tried out as a guy for the boys' wrestling team.
Because if you don't tell, then it's one of those things that gets dug up. Like, remember when they had that Little League championship a few years ago and some of the players on this boys' Little League team were like 19 or 20, and they went, oh, wait a minute, you're supposed to be 14. How did that happen?
Yeah, I guess, but who digs up on like a high school wrestler?
The losing team. Whoever loses. Fans had mixed reactions. As I pointed out, there was a loud chorus of boos that could be heard when Beggs was named the state champion. He says it definitely felt different. He told the Dallas Morning News, "I felt a lot more humble. This year I wanted to prove a point that anyone can do anything, even though I was put in this position, even though I didn't want to be put in this position, even though I wanted to wrestle the guys, I still had to wrestle the girls."
It's totally not fair in all aspects because he shouldn't have to give up wrestling.
Well, they're not asking him to give it up. There's
but what's
just,
he supposed to do?
That, yeah,
go
that,
easy on them because they're girls?
Yeah, you can't, right.
It's
right.
Not his fault he can't wrestle with the guys. It's the school's fault.
Yeah, this is a tough one. And so for a moment, I was thinking, there's not enough wrestlers who fit this category.
Not yet.
Right?
There may
be. But then I was thinking, but that's awful, too. Why should there be a category? You have to
oh,
just
you mean
figure
like
out,
their own league? No.
Yeah, there can't be that. Or not even own league, but their own classification. But you can't have that. That makes it even worse.
Who was the tennis player who transitioned? Renee Richards,
right.
Yes. So she played, she was a man originally, played
born a male,
and played male tennis, and then switched to a woman and played women's tennis, right?
I can't remember if she played as a male. I don't.
But when she transitioned fully, she played as a woman.
Correct.
So that's what I mean. Look at how many years ago that was.
I have to think, even though this is an isolated incident right now, that as time goes on, this will be a lot more common, right?
I agree with you.
Can you imagine?
Yes.
It would have to be.
So they have to find a way to do it. Can we talk to Philip?
Right. Yes.
Hi, Philip. What do you think?
Well, I think that the person should be disqualified because not because of what they're going through, but the fact that they took a drug that is certainly physically enhancing. Whether you're male or female, that's inappropriate, okay? If you played any other sport and you used any kind of enhancing drug, you would be disqualified. Look at the Olympics as a perfect example. Whether you're male or female or want to be something other than what you are, that is wrong. And he's depriving the people who are competing legitimately in those categories from that putt.
Although, Philip, he's being deprived because he wants to wrestle with the males because he thinks that would be more fair and the school district won't let him. So it's not fair to him either.
Have you talked to the school official? I think there's more to that story.
Well, here's...
I don't know that what you said is correct or accurate.
Well, Bill's reading it from an article.
The determination they made was because the testosterone was coming through doctor's orders because of the transitioning and not sports related, that it was then allowable. That if it was... go on.
Let me ask you this.
Sure.
If I was an Olympic contender and I went to a doctor, my doctor, and I said, here's what I need, and you tell him it's for some other reasons other than sports enhancement.
Yeah.
Give me a prescription, you can bet I'll get it.
Yeah, but this kid's not trying to pull a fast one on someone. He's trying to transition. He's trying to turn from a girl to a guy. So it's not like
when he gets there fully, then he should be allowed to compete in the category he or she chooses.
I agree, but it seems like the school will not allow that. The kid said flat out, I have to wrestle in the girls' division.
Right.
I got a feeling that's. There's more to this story. Yeah, I really do.
Well,
I cannot believe.
We will find out the rest of the story, I believe.
With Paul Harvey.
Okay.
Thank you, Philip. All right.
I agree. It sounds like it doesn't sound right, but he's saying
right.
They will not let him wrestle with the boys.
Correct.
That's
Even
what
he
wanted.
He wants it. They won't let him. Now, let me throw a little twist at you. Are you ready to have a twist thrown at you?
Yes.
What if this was the exact opposite? What if Mac had been born a male and was transitioning to a female, does this become a different story?
Yes, because they wouldn't let him wrestle with
I don't think they would.
They wouldn't let him wrestle with the boys. They wouldn't.
See, I don't think so either. I was thinking about that, like when I first heard this story over the weekend, I went, I wonder if the tables were turned, how this would play out.
Because he would then be a girl and would stand out more. It would be like Big Ethel was on the, the wrestling
Good
mat.
Archie reference. I did not see that coming. Well done.
Thank you.
That's, very nice.
That's what I'm thinking of, though.
Right.
I mean, it would
right.
be more, you'd notice it more.
Right. So let me, I'll just quickly finish up what Mac had said at his press conference afterwards. Even though I wanted to wrestle guys, I still had to wrestle girls. But what can I tell people? I can tell the state legislature to change the policy, but I can't tell them to change it right now. All I can hope for is that they come to their senses and realize that this is stupid and we should change the policies to conform to other people in my position. So Mac himself is saying, I just won the state championship. I know it's tainted. I don't want it to be this way. I'd rather wrestle against guys, not finish, what did I say, 53-0?
Yeah, 52-0.
But it's more 52-0, but it's more fair.
Well, it's like handing you a trophy for something you didn't earn. He
right.
knows that.
Right.
Real quickly, let's get Jim in here. Jim, you got about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, but Bill, let me ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
If he was wrestling with boys in that division and then still taking testosterone, would that be fair?
No, not really.
But again, you know, see,
it's tricky, isn't it?
It is tricky because he should be able to, and maybe during sports season, he doesn't do the drugs.
Right. That, or do you do a whole nother, just people that are on testosterone?
That's what I was saying. There can't be a separate division. That's not
right.
No, because
there'd be like, you know, the whole school district would have like two people going against each other at this point.
Right. And it's kind of unfair. And I understand the situation, but I don't think it'd be fair. Like the one gentleman said, you're taking an enhancing drug to enhance yourself. No matter what gender you are, you're getting an advantage.
Right. No, you're right.
And then you start thinking about it. You know, if you want to transition, that's totally cool and everything. But maybe you got to stay away from sports until you're fully transitioned.
I kind of agree with that. Until it doesn't affect. Either if someone, yes, an advantage, exactly.
But if you're only in high school for 4 years,
yeah,
if all goes well, then you're losing out.
God, look at the three of us. We're going, oh, yeah, but look at this, but look at that.
But that's one of the decisions you have to make if you're going to transition that you might have to give up by making that decision.
No.
That's true. I mean, think, and I know this is completely different, you know, a woman or a girl who gets pregnant early is now pregnant. She can't participate in sports, you know? I mean, it's like a medical condition that prevents you, and you only
maybe.
Have 4 years of high school, but...
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Jim, thank you. We appreciate the call. Have a great day.
Love your guys.
Oh, thank
you very much.
Thanks, Jim.
All right. What do we solve?
Nothing.
No, we didn't.
But it just makes you talk about it and think about it, and maybe the school will figure something out.
But didn't you, like, my gut reaction, I know we have news, was it's so horrible that this person, that Matt got booed after winning the state championship.
Bill, I got to tell you something.
Yeah.
If that was my kid that Mac was wrestling against and he won, I would boo. And
you
not
would?
Because the kid is transitioning, but because it's not fair.
Yeah, I get it.
They're
I
not
totally
booing
get it.
At him transitioning.
Right.
I hope
they're yelling Lou. That's always pointed out on a sports broadcast with a guy named Lou
or Q.
They're not
Coach
right.
Q, because it's still at a game, at a Blackhawks game. I still feel like they're booing him,
right.
But they're saying Q.
Right. An announcer has to point out they're not yelling Boo. They're yelling Q or Lou. All right, we'll take a quick break and then news and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises.
Well, this is confusing.
Zorn.
Well, no, it isn't. I just got word from behind the scenes that Eric requested we play that when he's not here.
Oh, interesting.
Of course he did.
Kristen McQueary is here filling in for Eric Zorn from the Chicago Tribune. There is no song with your last
That's
name
it.
In it.
I'm out of here.
No, don't. Please,
isn't
please.
That funny?
Please, no.
I
don't.
Love Eric.
If you don't have a McQueary is the best mom song, next time
I'm Age of Macquarius.
Oh, that's good.
Age of Macquarius.
We'll find that. We'll load that.
Perfect.
Kristen, nice to see you. Thank you very much for being here. We just quickly spoke a little before you came on air with us, and I said, how are things? And you said, crazy. How crazy is crazy? Extremely crazy or just kind of sort of crazy?
It's extremely crazy, but it will ramp up. So we are 1 month away from the Illinois primary election.
So it's election crazy.
It's election crazy. My yeah. week last week began with I received an anonymous sort of email with some pictures of the nude buttocks of an elected official. I'm not allowed to elaborate further.
Oh.
And then ended with some accusations against the Republican candidate for attorney general. Someone had questioned her sexual orientation, and so the word lesbo was in the news and editorials. I know, it's insanity.
Schoolyard.
But she was actually asked that question by somebody else who was running for office because they wanted to know her marital status and why she wasn't married or had children and used that word. So it ended up in news stories.
Is that anyone's business why you're not married and don't have children?
No. No, and I think that's why the opposition rose against this candidate. Now, he has claimed that his words have been taken out of context, but this is somebody who's running for a House seat in the suburbs.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez.
Go back to story number one for just a little bit. How do you react when you open up an envelope? You have no idea what's inside the envelope, and it's a picture of one of the candidate's rear ends.
It was an email.
It was an email.
It was an email.
All right, so how do you react to that?
Well... not much because there's not a, you know, this is not even really becoming part of the campaign yet, but I'm assuming at some point it's going to come out. And, you know, this was an adult sending, purportedly sending a photo of himself to another adult, and they were in a relationship. So,
oh,
you know,
my God, would you keep your butts to yourself?
But he could use this. It's a he, right? He could use this to his advantage. Like, his campaign could be that picture, and it says...
No ifs, ands, or
no
buts.
No ifs, ands, or buts, or I'm used to coming from behind. There's a whole lot of ways...
That's not going to sway my decision one way or the other. I mean, if it's a good butt, do you get more votes?
I think you question the judgment of someone who is an elected official and would risk sending a photo like that in today's environment. But on the other hand, this is not, you know, again, consenting adults. So what can you do? What can you do? It's election season.
These iPhones, they make it so easy to send compromising pictures.
Can you imagine, Wendy, when you were in college and first dating?
If there would be a book out with all the photos.
Yep. Yes.
Now, God, there wasn't anything around then.
I know.
You know Eric Zorn, the guy who insisted we play his theme song even though you're our guest? All right, so a week ago today...
You're going to pay for that.
I said anytime anyone runs for office now, you have to realize you better not have done anything wrong in your entire life or it's going to come back to haunt you. And then Steve said... But look who our president is. It's a guy with dozens and dozens and dozens of these things, and it didn't seem to stand in his way at all.
Right. I think that that standard has been dropping for years,
yeah.
and it's certainly plummeted with Trump. Yeah. I mean, and I've said this before, like as soon as during the campaign we were talking about hand size with the men, remember that comment?
Yes.
And it just went downhill from there to a point where I don't know what he could possibly do to have people be more offended by his conduct and still remain in office. And we have a judge race here in Cook County. Again, one of these like only in Cook County stories where you have a former Playboy model or someone who posed in Playboy running for a judgeship here.
Right. There was a time where if a candidate was divorced, people went, oh, you can't run that guy. He's been divorced. Or if they ever admitted to smoking marijuana, you go, well, that guy, he's a doper. He's a pothead. You don't want that guy in office. So what is the last taboo? What is the last thing you can possibly get away with and have somebody go, I'm not voting for him or her?
I think felonies are still,
felonies are still bad.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Are still bad. But then we have some people who, you know, believe in giving people second chances. And I think you can still run for Cook County Board even with a felony. Not many offices can you do that.
Right.
I think you can for Cook County Board. So I would say still criminal records, violence is still strike against you.
I know this will sound crazy, but I've said this before. I think the last taboo is somebody who admits that they don't believe in God.
Oh.
I really do. Hmm. I think so many people would be so turned off by that they couldn't vote for somebody like that.
I don't know because so Trump, again, when he was running, he was in Iowa. It was the height of the primary season. He's in front of all of these evangelists, and he talks about going to, I think the question was, you know, when have you ever sought God's forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And he basically said, well, no, never. Mm. And talked about going to church and having his little sip of wine and his little cracker. I mean, he really kind of...
played to the base.
Against
the base.
Exactly. But if you can get away with kind of that frivolous,
what did they do when he said the little cracker?
You know, I don't think that it really made much news. I thought it was a huge misstep. Oh my gosh, this is going to be the end of his campaign. This is Iowa. Yeah. You can't say that in Iowa.
Usually when he says little cracker, he means Jeff Sessions.
Exactly. See? There you
Christy
go.
Christy McQuarrie's here. We'll take a quick break and then more in a moment. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's the age of Aquarius.
Wendy, we've gotten so many requests for that song. Oh, listen to it.
All right, we got to record beautiful. Something, and Kristen, we'll play it for stunning. When Eric Zorn's back next week.
Stunning. Kristen Your McQuarrie idea. Is here. She writes and sings for the Chicago Tribune. Let's go back to politics for just a bit. And since Donald Trump's name came up, there have been two different ratings that have shown that his approval rating has hit an all-time low. Now, here's a quick question.
Yes.
He cares very much about his image. Does this really bother him when these, or does he just consider this fake news when any more polls come out showing that his approval rating is as low as it is? How do you think this affects him?
I think he actually pays attention. Yeah. I think it's one of the only things he pays attention to are his poll numbers. So I don't know that it will change his behavior, but I think but even his movement a little bit on gun issues in the past few days, a lot of they're attributing his low approval rating to the Florida shooting and that. Just more and more people are getting really frustrated with the lack of gun control measures that can move anywhere in the Congress. And so I think that's part of it. He also had a bump. We're comparing his February number to January. Mm-hmm. And in January, the stock market took off and he got maybe an unnecessary bump from that.
Yeah. I think the most telling moment of Trump in the handling of the gun situation, both in Florida and nationally, was when they showed his script when he was doing this listening session on Wednesday, and you could clearly see the words, "I hear you," written on his script, as if to say somebody had to prompt him and say, you have to not only listen to these kids, but assure them that you're hearing them and you're agreeing with them. But it needed to be written out.
Yeah.
That was very telling.
I write things out sometimes when I'm recording something, and I write, "I'm Wendy Snyder."
I do. I have to say, I sort of thought that it was a little piling on, because I do the same thing. I write out things like welcome when I'm doing a little speech or something. And if they were trying to keep him on point and they wanted to have just a few talking points, I think a lot of politicians probably.
Then why didn't it say be sad and not approval or disapproval? Why didn't it say those things?
It did, but they were in little drawings you couldn't see next to them so that he could understand this dad face.
And technically I put I'm WS.
That's
but if I'm writing
out
a script for a commercial or something, I do, because it's like you have to count words to see how long it's going to be. So I do put that down.
But this wasn't counting words. This was a reminder.
I know, but I think people are picking on that.
Some sort of emotion.
I can find many other things to pick on.
Oh, yeah. There's no shortage of that. There's no question about it. All right, let's go back to local. What else is going on? The election is how many weeks away? 4 weeks away?
4 weeks away. March 20th is the primary. So mark your calendars. Be sure to go pull a Democratic or Republican ballot. We have governor's race. We have really hot attorney general race. This is Illinois General Assembly races, some congressional races.
And you see really hot because you saw one of their butts.
She didn't say one way or the other.
I can't say whose rear end, but it was emailed to me.
Yeah.
And then, I had to do some research.
Sure,
and then I had to spend an hour kind of comparing other photos to see if it was part of the job.
Yep.
So if you see Google searches on my on my computer, Mr. Tribune, Colonel McCormick, it was all legit.
What does everybody have to do? So with a month left before the primaries, what do they have to do to convince the listeners, to convince the voters that they are the candidate of choice? What needs to happen?
Number one is don't screw up. This is a moment where campaigns are just absolutely crazy. Everyone around you is sleep deprived. They haven't had a haircut in 6 months. They're living on caffeine and booze and pizza. And so you're living in this little bubble, and it can be easy sometimes to make a mistake because you're working very hard, working late hours, doing all kinds of events on the weekend. So number one is don't screw up. And number two, there are a lot of candidates who realize that the electorate is not really paying attention yet. You know, people are just now starting to pay attention to maybe that governor's race.
Mm-hmm.
J.B. Pritzker, Kennedy, Daniel Biss, Jeannie Ives, Governor Rauner. And so they're kind of holding their fire. You're going to see a lot more commercials, a lot more hard-hitting commercials in the next few weeks. So on the campaign side, if you've been sitting on your money, now is the time we'll see some of that actually get spent. And you have to be places. You know, I always think about Paul Vallis.
Oh, by the way. Heartbreaking.
His son died over the weekend.
24 years old.
Yeah.
No, I was just researching it before I came down here. They still have not announced what they presume to be a possible cause of death. But when Paul Vallis ran for governor in 2010, and he almost won that Democratic primary, but at the last minute, this is the rumor. I think it was substantiated. He didn't want to get on a plane. He didn't like getting on those little airplanes, so he didn't do like a last minute statewide tour outside of the Chicago area. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say that's all he needed really to bump himself up over the edge was just really cramming things into that last weekend. So candidates have to be out and be seen.
When you said that we can expect hard-hitting ads in the last 4 weeks, that translates as smear campaigns. They're going to say negative things about the people they're running against, right? That's
absolutely
what we can expect, yeah?
Yep.
And I hate those.
Yeah.
Really do.
But that's, I hate them too, but they have shown in the past that that's what makes people's eyes open a little bit wider. When you say negative stuff about your opponent, who's going to be the biggest of the smear tactics, do you think?
That's a good question. I think,
Jeannie Ives already is.
Jeannie Ives she's doing more ads about like herself now.
Yeah.
She's now the subject of some attack ads by Rauner where they're trying
to link the Mike Madigan
stuff, which are ridiculous. But
They are, aren't they?
They're ridiculous. But I think you'll see maybe Pritzker kind of go after Daniel Biss a little bit more.
Yeah.
You'll see maybe Kennedy has kind of an introductory here I am type of ad. Maybe he'll finally come back. You know, Pritzker has a lot that you could go after him with if you had the money.
Right.
You know, the issues with his property tax appeals and what he said on the recorded phone calls with Blagojevich. So all of that just amplified in the next few weeks.
Who has the biggest chance of surprising us? Is there anybody out there, candidate-wise, that you really think could pull off some sort of a surprise?
That's a good question. In the Democratic primary, you do have someone like Daniel Biss who's kind of starting to inch ahead a little bit. And you know that, and you know that internal polling within the Pritzker campaign is showing that because they're going after him. So even with all the money that Pritzker has poured into that race, and he's been in this, I mean, he has been out there for almost a year now and on TV for 6 months, sometimes spending $1 million a week. So if for some reason he got knocked out of that primary, that would be a huge upset considering how much money he spent. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but you've seen those numbers kind of creep up where people are focusing in. And if you are a progressive Democratic voter and you want someone who's going to push that agenda but also push against the machine, not just be a yes man to Mike Madigan, there is a group of voters, I think, who are hungry for an alternative to Pritzker. So that could be an upset. And then there are just a bunch of races that most people probably don't pay attention to. But the Illinois General Assembly, I'm watching those seats. Mike Madigan has had a majority for all of these years.
Right.
To see some candidates kind of come out and say, you know what, I'm not going to vote for him for speaker if I'm elected. That those could be some little upset races in the suburbs.
Are you going to sleep between now and a month from now? Any sleep or none?
Maybe a little sleep.
Just a little.
I didn't work Sunday yesterday, but that was like the first day that I hadn't worked in probably, I don't know, 3 weeks or something.
What did she say? Coffee, booze, what was the other one?
Pizza.
Pizza.
Yeah, and no haircuts. Everybody looks awful. They look terrible. They've lost 50 pounds.
Yeah.
It's not a pretty time. They're sleeping on couches.
It's not pleasant.
No,
it's not. Kristen, thanks so much for being here. It's always a pleasure. It's Kristen McQuarrie. Read her in the Chicago Tribune.
And sing my song.
And sing her song. That's all we ask.
Age of Aquarius.
The Age of Aquarius.
Someone did some high school musicals.
Not me. Must be Wendy.
Thanks, Kristen.
Junior high.
We'll find out what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch next. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.